welcome back to the Dream Achieve podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Ashton, and today we are going to be talking all about authenticity, opening up on social media, what that looks like, as well as a plethora of other things with my guest today, Kelsey Murphy. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Kelsey Murphy because once you hear her incredible success so far, I know you're going to want to keep listening and learn all that she has to share. So Kelsey Murphy helps her clients redefine success to create a business and life they love. As a business and life coach, Kelsey has worked with Fortune 500 companies like Facebook and Twitter, industry thought leaders like Marie Forleo, oh my gosh, guys, love her, currently reading her book, as well as celebrity nutritionists, coaches, and other brilliant humans creating meaningful businesses and lives. Her coaching work has been featured in Forbes, Business Insider, Huffington Post, and laurenconrad.com, and many more. She is also the host of her own podcast, which you can go listen right after you're done with this one. It is called The Whiskey and Work Podcast, and there she is giving her wise and sometimes comical advice on navigating the waters of business, life, and relationships. You can hear her passion and positivity that surrounds her work in her voice throughout this episode, and we're going to talk about, of course, her rise to being a business coach, moving from a small town to a big city just to start work in more of a corporate setting, and what the transition was like in case any of you are thinking of leaving maybe your comfort zone for a new city, a new job, and all that that entails. And we're going to talk about Instagram, social media, and showing more of your real self on there as well. Okay, that's enough of an introduction, I believe. Let's get straight into the interview. Hey, Kelsey, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so pumped to be here.
Yes, I am so excited that I have the opportunity to talk to you today. You have just been, you've had an amazing career so far, and I know myself and my audience will have so much to learn. So I would love for you to start out with sharing what, if you went to school, like in college, or what were you doing that time of your life, since many of our listeners are at that stage.
Yeah, absolutely. So while I am a business and a life coach right now, that is definitely not what I went to school for by any means. So I actually had no idea what I wanted to do when I went into school. And I went to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. So I needed to declare my major right away, which is really a downside, I feel like, when you're 18, because you're like, maybe I want to do this, but there's so many things you want to explore. So I applied under agricultural business, and you know, truth be told, I really wanted to get in and maybe be business and marketing. That was kind of like the most generic thing I could think of that maybe I would like. But I was told that, hey, it's really hard to get into Cal Poly, so you should try to get in under agricultural business and just switch your major. And I was like, that sounds very smart. Like, I'm going to do it. So I applied under agricultural business, got in. And you have to take a quarter's worth of classes. And I took my first quarter of classes. And I remember my very first class was dairy science. And I was like, oh, great, you know. And I walk into this dairy science class, and I could not have had more fun in 1 hour of my life. It was like every single person I was surrounded by were all of these like real genuine farmers. They had farms in like Central California, and they were just like these salt of the earth humans and people. And I was connecting with just new types of souls. And it was so eye-opening for me. And I didn't realize how much I didn't know. And so I met these incredible people. We talked about all these fascinating things about cows and their stomachs and their diets. And I was totally into it. And then we got to like adopt a little baby cow and go and feed them. And I was like, why would anyone do anything besides this in college? Like, this is so much fun. And so what's funny is I ended up staying in agricultural business all 4 years. And everybody was like, well, what are you going to do with that when you get out? And I was like, I have zero idea. Like, that's definitely not something. It's not like I was going to go live on a farm, or I was I was not in love with it and the idea that I was going to take it for an entire career. But at that point in my life, I really was enjoying the people. I was enjoying the new things, the new experiences I was having. It was so fun for me to be outdoors and really hands-on in my classes. I was taking soil science and dairy science and all these really incredible new things for me. So I did that. And then I dabbled in some like marketing. My concentration was marketing. So I dabbled in like marketing and advertising on the side. And I thought that was pretty interesting. And so when I graduated, I actually moved home for about a year. And my mom and my family had owned this kind of coffee shop. It was like a coffee shop, but they also did a different dinner every night of the week. It was this really kind of small, cute, quaint restaurant. And we had had it for about 7 or 8 years. And so I came home and I helped them run it for about a year and kind of decided like, ooh, do I want to do this? And I live in I come from a small town in Southern California. So when I moved back, I thought, ooh, this could be it. Maybe I want to run my own business or do something really cool like that. I remember my senior project was all around this business that they had owned. And then I came back and I just realized like, wow, I've been doing this small thing for a while now. At that point, Cal Poly was pretty small and my hometown was pretty small. And I just felt like I needed to explore. So very uncharacteristic of me, I threw all of my stuff in a car one weekend and drove up to San Francisco and like slept on my best friend's couch and interviewed at a ton of different jobs like real estate and financial advising and marketing and advertising and, you know, Starbucks. And like I interviewed everywhere because I was sleeping on my best friend's couch. And I was like, I just want to live in a big city. I want to explore. And then I interviewed at this advertising agency called Goodby Silverstein and Partners. They're one of the best agencies in the world. And I just loved the energy and the vibe. And I loved the people that I met. I had no idea really what the job entails because I feel like when it's your very first job, it's really hard to know exactly what it is till you get in there, right? Till you get on the ground floor and you spend a couple days in there. But that's how I got my very first, like my very first, I'd say like big girl job, you know, like I interviewed at a ton of different places and I went with the place that like felt right in my gut, that I loved the people there. And I had many interviews with them. I will say that is the one thing I did that I would always recommend to people is not only did I go through many interviews, but I also asked them for follow-up like lunches and coffees. So like my direct boss, I said, hey, if you're going to be my boss, can we go to lunch and have like an even deeper conversation? So she took me to lunch before I got the job. And we had, you know, I was literally like, this doesn't pay very much. How do you survive this kind of money? Like, how do you make, you know, I was asking her very blunt, open questions that she was so happy to answer for me. And I knew because she was the type of person that could laugh and have a good time and answer those things with me. She would not only be a mentor to me as, you know, someone going through the advertising world, but she'd be a mentor to me in life and as a human that I would want to look up to. And I still look up to her. I still see her as someone that is a mentor for me, even though we're not in the same industry anymore. And I didn't continue down the advertising path. I really believe that when you're looking for mentors, you're not just looking for people that are like living a professional life that you want to follow. They are living an entire life that you want to follow. They're treating people the way that you want to be treated. They are showing up in the world with the love and the kindness and the humor that you want to, you know, that you want to show up as. So I did a lot of that. I asked for a lot of extra coffees, a lot of extra conversations. And I really loved everyone. And to this day, I still think those are some of my favorite people, favorite humans, even though we're not in the same industry, they are incredible, incredible people. And yeah. And then I started there and I was there for like 7, 8 years after that.
Wow. Yeah, that's such great advice because I feel like in college, when we're told to go out and interview, whether it's for internships or first jobs, we're told that, okay, they're seeing if it's a good fit for you to be in this company. But like you just mentioned, you also need to make sure if it's going to be a good fit for you and you need to ask about the company culture and make sure that, you know, if you're going to get this first mentorship or this first job, it's going to shape you a lot. And how you said you stayed there for 7 or 8 years, that's awesome. And you want to make sure you're in a good growing place for yourself as well. And so I think that's such great advice that college students aren't often told.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's important.
Did you notice a difference in business of your small town versus when you decided to move to the big city? Because I think a lot of people can resonate with that story of doing the small town thing and then just deciding to move. And was it a huge shock, or how did you kind of cope with that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was absolutely so different for me. I think that, you know, I always thought I was going to be like a stay-at-home mom. I was going to live down the street from my mom. Like, my mom and my aunt live on the same street together. You know, I just thought that I was going to be integrated and step back into that really small town community. And I loved the town that I grew up in. I loved how small and close and connected it is. I still love it. But when I moved back, I felt like I was missing something. You know, it didn't feel quite like home for me. It felt like I was stepping into like almost an old or previous life or somebody else's life. And I knew that I still had some exploring kind of in my bones. And what's funny is I never pinned myself as like a traveler. I never expected myself to be like the fact that I've started my own business and that my husband and I have traveled all over the world and that I've now lived this other like alternative life is so funny and bananas. And like so many of the people I grew up with would be like, wow, like that is not what you ever said you would do. I always said I would like settle down straight out of college, move back to my hometown, have like 10 kids, 10 dogs, like that was the plan. But I think what's always interesting is that when you try those shoes on, when you step into that life, most of things that we're doing in life, we are stepping into to test it out, right? We are stepping into to see if that's what we like, to see if that's what we want to do. And so I think this notion of like we should know exactly what we want to do, or like we have these very clear defined plans, is like, yes, you should have an idea of something that you like that lights you up, and it should be for a deep and thoughtful and meaningful reason. But recognize that you're going to test that out. Recognize that you're going to step into that, and you have all the freedom in the world to pivot and change, because that's what happened for me as I stepped into that life, which I loved a lot of aspects of it. And I just immediately felt like something feels off. And if something feels off, it is, you know, and you have to follow that and listen to it and test something else out. And so I had said, you know what, I'm going to move up to San Francisco and I'm going to give that a year. Like, I'm going to test it out for a year and I can always move back home. I can always, you know, change my mind. And when I went and I moved to San Francisco, I recognized there were so many pieces of me to still be explored and discovered. And as I created that new life for myself, I found all these other facets of me that I didn't recognize that were important. And I did so much self-development work, and I had so many adventures out there, and my life is completely different than what I thought it was going to be. And I have traveled the world now by myself, with my sister, with my husband, with now my little kiddo, you know, and I've started my own business and met all of these incredible new different kinds of friends that are all over the world. And I never expected that. And my life, honestly, I'm so grateful. And I always say life is in season. So I'm in a very good season of my life right now. But I genuinely never knew or thought that I could be this happy. Like, and I think that I credit that to a lot of the people that showed me the way. I credit that to hitting rock bottom a lot, to a lot of tears, and pulling myself back up. And I also recognize, while I'm so thrilled and so happy with my life right now, that like, I will hit a dip soon. Life will throw some curveballs my way, and I will have to decide how I want to show up for those, you know? So I think it's just important to recognize that when you are going from small town to like big town, like, it is going to be a shift. It is going to be, it's going to be hard, but it's I think letting go of those expectations that it's going to solve all of these problems or it's going to be the number one answer, and like giving yourself the room to test it out, you know?
Yeah, that's such a great story of development and such a great mindset you have about development. And I'd love to talk a bit about your business now. And you have so many different platforms, whether it's your podcast, Whiskey and Work, your business and life coaching, you're a part of B School with Marie Forleo. But where did all that stem from? What was the platform that kind of got you into having an online business?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, when I, before I started my business, when I was in San Francisco and I was working in advertising, I started doing some blogging, and it was when blogging was starting to grow and starting to become popular, but I kept my blog private. So it was more of a journal for myself. And I would just journal about fun things. And, you know, I got a camera, like a kind of a, you know, a DSLR, and started taking some fun pictures around the city. And so I play with the themes of, you know, a website, and not a ton. Like, I mean, let's be clear. Like, I was in an incredibly demanding job and I was burning the candle at both ends. But I did love the idea of journaling. And every time I would journal about like a hard day or something that was really exciting, and I would upload some photos, I would love going back and like looking at them and reminiscing about them. So I just started kind of privately blogging. And I will always tell people, if you're considering doing something online, like there's so many ways to do little private websites and like not make them published, mm-hmm. you know, or private blogs, and just test it out, right? And see if you like it, if it brings you joy, if you find like you're staying up late at night doing it because it's so fun, maybe that's something you should explore more. So I started doing dabbling in a little bit of blogging. And just kind of got my feet wet. And I think that's when I started to recognize that there were these other creative sides of me that I never really felt like I was creative. Like I never felt like I was a quote unquote creative person. But when I wrote and I shared my story, I usually could share it with a lot of like raw vulnerability. Like I don't want to say I'm an oversharer, but I can be. Like, I feel like it's really important, and it's one of my strengths is that I feel very open. Like, I don't mind sharing the fact that I've gone to a ton of therapy. I don't mind sharing the fact that I have struggled with tons of anxiety. Like, I don't mind sharing those stories. I think they're an important part of who I am, who I was, the journey that I will probably continue to go on. So when I would write these things, every now and then I would like do a little screenshot and I would share a story out with some friends, just like some old college friends or some people that I hadn't seen in a while, and be like, hey, just heads up, like this happened the other day. My sister got engaged and I got this promotion, or, you know, like I would just share random tidbits, and I get so much feedback from people being like, oh my gosh, like, wow, you're such a great writer. That was so beautiful. That was so amazing. And I would start to get excited and be like, dude, I thought it was pretty cool too, you know? So I would continue to write. And then eventually I started to make my blog a little bit more public. Like I would make it public and then I would make it private again. And then I'd make it public and then I'd make it private again. And then my husband and I went and we started traveling, and we did a little travel blog, which was not meant to be monetized. It was literally meant to just like keep friends and family up to date. But I think just through doing those things for fun, I recognized how much I really loved writing. Like I really loved storytelling, and I loved writing and sharing experiences, and not just like, hey, you know, we're traveling in New Zealand in this camper van and, you know, we went into this cave full of all these glow worms. It was like, no, I wanted to explain what it was like for me to be in New Zealand and how connecting with my husband, Colin, was this like magical experience, and how I never recognized that other humans did these kinds of things. And then asked people questions like, have you ever been in that kind of a situation before where you step into a new experience and you recognize there's so much that you don't know, and it gets you so excited about the world and you want to go learn more, you know, like, and it catapults you into this whole new, you know, exploration. Like I would ask things like that, and I would start writing, I think, a little bit more like that. And people just started to gravitate towards it more. So I started kind of building content in that way, not it was not gaining any traction. It was not meant to gain any traction. It was truly just for me to explore what I really liked. And through that, I think I just started to get the courage to be myself and to explore the things that I really wanted to explore. And then that's when I started to explore life coaching, and I started to explore tons and tons and tons of different careers and different avenues and different routes. And everyone will be like, oh, did you know you wanted to be a life coach right away or a business coach? And I was like, absolutely not. Like, no, I had no idea. I will tell you, I took a day off from my advertising job, and I flew down to a high school that I went to, and asked to shadow for a day the counselor at the high school, because I thought, maybe I want to be a high school counselor. Like, that sounds really fascinating to me. So I literally blocked a day off of work. I took a sick day. I flew down. I sat there. And within like 2 or 3 hours, I was like, yeah, this is definitely what I don't want to do. Like, I don't want to write so many detention slips. And the counselor was so lovely. She was like, yeah, I don't think you want to do this either. Like, and it was like, awesome. Okay, great. So I can check that off my list. You know, like, I mean, I sat in massage therapist orientations, you know, like, I got so far as to think, I want to be a massage therapist. I can control my own job. I can work wherever I want. And then I got into the massage therapy orientation, and I sat there, and this was all on the side. This is all while I was still doing my advertising job. And I recognized, right, oh, you have to do volunteer hours. And oh, wait, I'm going to have to touch other people's bodies. Like, I don't think I can do that. Like, and people were like, well, what did you think you were going to be doing? And I'm like, I guess I don't know. I didn't really think it through till I got into the situation, you know. And I went and I sat in MBA orientations and thought I wanted to go back and go to school. And, you know, like, I tested these things out, not to the extent that I signed up for them, but to the extent that I at least took a couple steps into it to recognize whether I could check it off my list and say yes or say no. And I think that's what we often miss, right, is that now I am down into this world, right, where I do get to work with incredible people like Marie Forleo, like, on B-School. And I have this beautiful, thriving business that I get to work with amazing clients. And I have this great podcast. And in theory, like, if you look at that picture, you're like, oh, she's got it all together. But, like, the whole process of getting there has all been trial and error. You know, it has always been, like, testing these things out and allowing yourself that time to dip kind of a toe in the water, you know, and allow yourself to move forward. Because a lot of times these ideas, like when I was thinking about starting my podcast, it was just an idea, right? And I let it sit in my head for years. I had been told, Kelsey, you need to start a podcast and share some of these stories. Kelsey, you need to start a podcast. It's going to be the best thing for your business. Kelsey, it's podcasting is all the rage. It's the new blogging. You have to do it right now. And in my brain and in my mind, I thought, yeah, I probably should start a podcast. That sounds really interesting. And then I would go to sleep the next day and I'd wake up and I'd do the laundry, you know, and then I'd do my normal job, right? And then I coach people. And then a little inkling would come into my head that night and be like, yeah, Kelsey, you should probably start a podcast sometime. And I continued to just think that, and it stayed in limbo. I never knew whether it was truly a great idea or not until I tested it out, right? Until I finally said, I made a commitment to myself, like, why don't you record a couple episodes? Like, you don't have to publish them. You don't have to do it if you don't want, like, but just test it out, record a couple episodes and see if you like it. Like, if you like it, then think about uploading it and publishing it and making it a commitment where you can do it once or twice a week. But, like, just get it out of limbo, get it out of your head, do something that you can either say, yes, I'm leaning towards this, or no. Because often we let these things sit in our head for so long. We've been thinking, ooh, I might want to try this, or ooh, maybe I could start a blog, or ooh, maybe I could be an influencer. We have these ideas and we're like, yeah, they have the dream job, but I could never do that. And it's like, why don't give it a test? See if you like it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. When I did a little bit of YouTube coaching, what I would tell the people I worked with is I would say, okay, your first videos are going to suck, but that's okay. They're just for you to watch and for you to critique and literally go through the whole process of uploading them to YouTube, but keep them on private. And it's just going to get you used to talking to a camera, going through the process. And I do think, like, how you explained that helped you be open and vulnerable starting out because you didn't think it was going to go public. But it's awesome that you have stayed open and vulnerable, even though now you have a large following.
Yeah, yeah. I think that that's, you know, that's a tough one. I mean, large following is relative. You know, I know that people get trolled a lot, and I have a wonderful, wonderful audience. And, you know, I definitely get some negative comments here and there. But most of the time, you know, I just don't feel like it's my job to pay attention to the negative comments. And if those are going to make me not be myself, you know, and not be vulnerable and not share in the way that I would normally share, then that's less, you know, that's me. That's me putting up a filter. That's me having a little bit of an insecurity of something that I can't be super honest about. And that's when I just know that, like, I have self-development work to do. You know, like, that's when I know that, like, if this isn't something, like, you feel comfortable talking about, like, you just need to have a reason why. Like, is it because you genuinely believe this is something that you should keep private, that is sacred and special and should only be shared with a few people? Or do you believe that you have a little bit of shame around this? You know, like, is there a little bit of insecurity and embarrassment? And if that is the case, then I need to do some self-development work there. You know, then I need to pick up my phone and talk to my therapist and figure out where that shame is coming from. And, like, what is that guilt that I'm feeling? Where is that coming from? And how can I work through that so that I'm comfortable sharing at the level that I want to share at, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so what kind of content are you posting on your social media to engage your followers, your clients, but also grow your business?
Yeah, yeah, that's a great question. You know, I would say most of my best content really comes out my podcast. And I think that that's just because I can talk a little bit more freely, and I have, you know, at least like a kind of a 20-minute, like if I do a solo show, it's between 10 to 20 minutes, right? So if I'm not interviewing an expert or interviewing someone like Marie Forleo or those other people and bringing them on, then I'm going to just give my opinion or share my personal stories. And that's usually between 10 to 20 minutes. And 10 to 20 minutes is a long time to be able to share content versus kind of like Instagram, which is probably my Instagram and email are probably my other two platforms that I get the most engagement on. And it's funny because my Instagram following isn't huge, but the engagement that I get within my DMs and especially within my Instagram stories is so strong and so high. And I think that's probably due to the kind of content that I post. But honestly, I get a lot of engagement in my Instagram straight about my podcast. So people will listen to podcast episodes and then they will find me on Instagram and DM me, or they will contact me on my contact page and email me and say, like, hey, this episode changed everything for me. This is such great advice. And, or the story that you told here brought me to tears, or, you know, they'll open up and they'll share with me. And so for me, starting with the podcast has been, I think, key for me because I've been able to talk and be myself. And I always make sure to kind of like, I structure my podcast so that it is not only me sharing stories and being vulnerable and very personal. I always like, I don't like to give people advice unless like I've got a story around it, right? It's like one thing to be like, yeah, go test things out. And people are like, okay. But I'm like, no, listen, this is how I tested things out. You know, like this is an example of how some of my clients have tested things out. Here are the highs and lows of testing things out. Then it becomes richer content. It's just more helpful for people to be able to envision what it actually would be like. So usually I think about my podcast and I want them to have like a very personal real world story along with some useful next steps for people, you know? So it's like, hey, if this resonates with you, like I did an entire episode on testing out new careers or testing out business ideas. And so it was very much around kind of what you and I are talking about. And I told people like, hey, here is my experience with it. And here are three ways that you could then go do it yourself, you know? I think that that's what probably makes my content for podcasting still meaningful and enjoyable, but also strategic, right? It's leading people down mm-hmm. to the next steps of starting that business or finding that career they love, which are kind of my goals, which is what I think makes us feel confident and empowered and strong, especially as women, as we're kind of entering this new era where so many of us are working and we're working while we have families and we're trying to balance, you know, having this independent life while also having this traditional family life, and knowing that that's what we want, like building a career around that, I think can be really, really difficult. And we're kind of the first generation of women paving that way. So it's really important to me that I feel like I'm giving people the tools to find something that not only they love, but they can work into the kind of schedule they want, that if it gives them location independence or freedom to travel or freedom to show up at their kids' field trip, like those are the really, I think, important magical things that people can kind of take away. And the podcast is like a starting place for them, you know?
Yeah, that has so much goodness in what you just shared. And I think a lot of people starting out get intimidated by the word content and they think everything has to be Instagram perfect, gorgeous video footage and pictures and highest audio quality. But what you're sharing is how you're getting your great engagement is because you're giving the more personal story aspects and using a little bit of strategy, which anyone can do to lay out whatever content they're sharing. So it is less intimidating if you think about it as, okay, what value am I going to share, instead of, okay, how perfect can I make this content?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you're talking to a perfectionist over here too. Like I'm definitely not like an organized, clean house type A type hustler. Like, I mean, if you look at the room that I'm sitting in right now, it is definitely not clean, but I'm way more like of a type B, kind of just like slower roll, for better or for worse. But when it comes to my content, for whatever reason, I definitely have a level of perfectionism. And I'm sure that that falls into a little bit of insecurity, you know, of what other people are going to think or the level they're going to hold me to. And I blame my advertising agency for this, because they were legit one of the best in the entire world. And so the content that was produced by them was just at the highest level. Like nothing could go out the doors of that company without it being as perfect as possible. And I got used to that. And so when it came to them, me starting up my own stuff, I almost had that filter. And what I recognized is my superpower is not creating a perfect graphic. My superpower is not creating a perfect, Instagram caption. Like that's just not my superpower. I think maybe for people that are a little bit more organized and have better grammar and have cleaner houses, that may actually be a superpower for them, right? Like it's just not a superpower for me. And one of my superpowers is that I'm highly emotional. Like I am one of the most like sensitive, emotional people that I know. Like, and that was always something that I hated about myself as I grew up and as I got older. And as I learned, you know, how to hold back tears in negotiating, you know, like rooms. And I was so mad at myself. I wanted to move through life without being so triggered all the time, you know, with things that happened with ex-boyfriends and things like that. But what I learned was this emotional side of me is actually what brings the most value to the world and to myself and to my family. And I definitely had to learn some tools to not let it overtake me. But once I did, and once I learned to love it about myself, I recognized like that is what you have to give to the world. Like you can share your emotional side. Like you can share your emotional side as you're dealing with these multi-million dollar contracts and working with these huge brands and traveling across the world and doing these things. You can share that you want to be this badass businesswoman that flies first class and drinks champagne by herself, and also want to be at home with your kid and be at all the field trips and iron your husband's clothes and put dinner on the table. And you want both of those things, and that's a great thing, right? Like that makes you who you are. And that's what I had to recognize about myself, that was my superpower. So when it comes to my content, I have to lean into my own superpower, which is like I can share the emotional and the vulnerable side of me. Like not everyone can do that. Like my content is not going to be perfect. Like it's not going to be the most beautiful feed out there. You're going to see lots of typos, but you will feel like you're getting the real side of me. Like you will feel like you are getting the very raw side of me because that is what I lean into. Like that's what I recognize that I can offer, you know?
That's so great. Find your superpower, lean into it for your content and your business. Oh, I wish we could continue to keep talking. I know you have so many more pieces of advice to share, but I would love to wrap up this episode by asking you, since we're on the Dream Achieve podcast, what is the next dream you are working towards achieving? And this can be career related, life related, any of that.
Oh my goodness. That's such a good question. I love that. You know what? Mine is probably more personal. I think that I've been doing my business for a while now, and I am about to have my second kiddo. And I want to scale my business to the place where it can truly, truly create more adventures for my family. And that is my dream for the next few years, is how to still build and connect and go deep with all of my clients and my audience while allowing more space for adventures for me and this new little nugget of my family and my little girl and my husband.
Amazing. Congratulations, by the way. And that reminds me so much of my mom personally. Her favorite word is adventure. She's always like, okay, let's plan the vacations for the year. What adventures are we going to have?
Oh, so that's awesome. That. It's a good mama right there.
Yes, she is. Thank you so much, Kelsey, for being on the show today. Where can the listeners find you?
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for all that you do and just facilitating these kinds of conversations. I think they're so important and they're so hard to have because there's no specific concrete answers. And just the fact that you are holding this space for people, I think is so amazing. And I'm so happy to support it. So thank you for doing. Yeah, I think you're doing incredible stuff. So that's amazing. And if people want to connect more, come say hello to me. Definitely an Instagram is where you can see all the good, the bad, the ugly. but you can slide into my DMs. Let me know that you heard me on this incredible podcast and that you want to connect more. Even if you just want to say hi or what's up, you can come find me. It's Kelsey Murphy is my Instagram. And then besides that, I would say head on over to the Whiskey and Work podcast. That is probably where you will get to know me the most. I talk about personal life. I talk about career life. I talk about business. And if you want to go deeper into my content, I have a ton of free planners and guides for starting podcasts and starting businesses and finding a career you love over on my website at kelseymurphy.com.
So everyone, that is it for the interview. If you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did, make sure to let myself and Kelsey know by DMing us on Instagram, tagging us in pictures of where you're listening on Instagram. And if you also wanted to leave a podcast review, that would mean the absolute world to me. Okay, so I like to do a quick little weekly recap of my week and everything at the end of these interviews just to keep you guys up to date on my life. If maybe this is the only platform you follow me on, but you still want to have more of a personal connection than just talking business and strategy and life. So I'm actually pre-recording this on Monday the 25th. And so I'm going to have it scheduled to go up this Friday on Black Friday. As I mentioned at the end of my previous episode, I'm so excited for Thanksgiving break. I am hopping on a plane tomorrow, Tuesday, the 26th. Gonna skip the last two of my classes because a lot of people do just because of flights and everything. And I'm headed to Florida to be with my family there for Thanksgiving and could not be more excited. I'm just ready to pack. I'm ready to go, but still have about a day and a half to get through before then. Anyway, I want to know what you guys are up to this Thanksgiving as well. And if you're listening to this on Black Friday, I hope you're getting some good shopping in. My site, the Dream Achieve Workbook, on shophannahashton.com is on sale. We're having a special sale Thursday, Friday, and then a different sale Saturday through Monday. So take advantage of all the sales this weekend. We love that. Get our Christmas shopping done early. And I also want to know what episodes you all want to hear throughout December. I will let you guys know that it's a rumor. Is it a rumor? I guess it started by me, so it doesn't count as a rumor. But as of now, I am not going to be continuing this podcast in 2020. I am going to do an episode talking about all of my reasons and how I kind of came to that conclusion, but I still have one more month of episodes going up. So let me know what you want to hear in the last four or five episodes I'm going to be posting to this podcast. So definitely let me know through Instagram or in an iTunes review. And I hope you all have a wonderful start to your holiday season, or a happy Thanksgiving if you're in the US. And I can't wait to talk to you guys next week. Okay. Love you. Bye.